the Sanctuary for Independent Media, where this radio is based in Troy, New York, where the Hudson and Mohawk Rivers meet, is on the land of the Mohicans, now referred to as the Stockbridge-Munsee community, and the Scaticoke, and on the very eastern part of the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois territory, specifically the Gononkahaga, the Mohawk. But at the time of this treaty in 1974, the Mohicans were already pushed off the land. And I imagine that other native groups, you were talking about land loss, were also pushed off these territories. So what does the treaty cover? What territories?
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, it is going to incorporate all of the territories of the Haudenosaunee people, the Iroquois people, and the Mohawk people would have, you know, maintained and had, you know, rights and kind of here's something to understand as well, I guess. And there were territories, there were areas that we kind of managed and maintained as people and things like that. But in terms of like an ownership over the land, that was something that was really sort of a foreign concept and something that was more of a European construct. And so, you know, when these things were kind of being talked about and when these things were sort of coming about and happening, oftentimes our people didn't really have an understanding as to like, well, how do I give away something that I'm really privileged to be here? You know, the creator has put this here for all of our enjoyment. And that was more the relationship that we had to the land and to the, you know, to all the elements that were in and around the area as well. So it was important for us to maintain that relationship. And as we saw, you know, our European counterparts coming in, you know, they always wanted to kind of have that relationship of we're your master, your leader, your father, you know, and whatever. And it was an idea that we had to kind of push back on and say that, no, if we're going to enter into these agreements, it's nation to nation, brother to brother, you know, person to person. And that was really a lot of where these relationships were formed. Now, you know, what has happened since then was there's a lot of different agreements as to like, you know, what was going to be Haudenosaunee territory, what was going to be Iroquoian territory. And a lot of that was going to be pushed. You know, there were territories and, you know, communities, reservations, things like that, lands that were still kind of, you know, held by the original people. But it was this idea to like try to push indigenous people west, continue to push them towards, you know, the western part of New York State so that European counterparts could kind of continue to, you know, encroach into the state. And so the Buffalo Creek Treaty was something that kind of came up after all of this, but really, you know, the Canandaigua Treaty was this guarantee that they would no longer, that the federal government would, you know, allow the indigenous people, the indigenous inhabitants to have this land, and that it would be a space where it would no longer be encroached upon, it would no longer be, you know, challenged or taken away. And of course, none of that stuff really was upheld. So one of the things that, you know, is important to understand about the treaty is that this is something that is still recognized today. You know, the federal government every day, as per part of the agreement, was that they were going to supply and furnish us with certain goods and sort of services that we could kind of maintain and keep. And one of those items is a bolt of cloth. And that cloth, we call it annuity cloth, and meaning it's an annual thing that happens every year. And so to us, every year, our clerk office, you know, down at the Seneca Nation, actually issues this foot by foot or the yard by yard, you know, surplus piece of cloth that we receive. And that comes from the federal government. It's actually delivered to our clerk's office, and it's set to be distributed to any of community members that want to use this stuff. So to us, that is the recognition. That is the understanding that they know that they have that right and responsibility. They know that they have that responsibility to our people. And the fact that they're enacting that and actually, you know, and still bringing that out, that's the significant, or the indication to us that they realize that they're still in that agreement. Now, have they upheld all of the pieces to it? Have they, you know, not encroached on indigenous lands? Have they not taken away more things? That hasn't happened, you know.
I was curious. I saw that it was $4,500 of cloth. Is that the original amount? Has this accounted for inflation?
Absolutely not. It's still the same bolt of cloth, and it's still, you know, not a very usable piece of cloth. If I was to try to make anything out of it, I'd probably be able to make a sock at best, maybe.
Oh, wow. That gives some really important perspective on that. So as you mentioned, a lot of this treaty has not been upheld from the U.S. government. So what would you like to see from the U.S. government to move towards a more just, to give more justice to indigenous communities?
I mean, one thing would be great is to have a little bit more involvement by the federal government and actually have a, you know, a conversation around what treaties mean. You know, in a lot of ways, they believe that the treaties are the supreme law of the land. and that, you know, when these things were agreed upon and enacted and things like that, it was from the jump that these things were right away being encroached, you know, and these things were being broken. And, you know, it'd be great for an elected official to maybe kind of stand up and finally say that, hey, you know, maybe we should kind of go back and revisit and have a conversation with the indigenous people, the original people, and maybe get an understanding as to like who they are and where they're coming from. For me, you know, I don't really know what reparations would look like. I mean, I think that one start would be is to go back and maybe revisit some of the land losses and some of the areas that like land was taken away and try to incorporate some of those things and try to give back some land, help indigenous peoples reestablish traditional territories and spaces. Those things are important. You know, I mean, land loss is a huge thing, you know, losing space, losing identity, losing the ability to know and have connection to the land and the culture that you're a part of is based in land. You know, a lot of indigenous knowledge is based in the land. So that's a huge piece to it, is to revisit and think about how can we do this thing in an effective way, in a just way, so that indigenous people can return to homelands. You know, the Cayuga Nation right now are in a huge land dispute in and around, you know, the northern end of Cayuga Lake. It would be amazing and great for them to be able to return back to their original homelands and their territory to reconnect. It would be an area and a space for them to reheal, you know, to do some healing that would be very important and beneficial to those people. So, you know, land loss is a huge part of the conversation. And how we celebrate every year is we have a commemoration at the Treaty Rock in Canandaigua, New York. It's going to happen this upcoming Friday at 2 p.m. If people can join or if people can come up and see it. There are going to be, you know, a number of indigenous peoples, indigenous constituents, elected officials, or not so much elected officials, but just really kind of, you know, kind of people of authorities, I guess you would say, polishing of the covenant chain, this out in terms of maintaining this relationship with our neighbors, with our brothers, and, you know, just making sure that we're upholding our end as long as you're doing your part and holding up yours. So that's what a lot of this is about. It's just kind of repolishing this, making sure that we're still commemorating this and make sure that we're still talking about this and educating people about treaties and what they mean and what they represent and the responsibilities that were, you know, laced into these things as well.
Ansley Jemison, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about the Canandaigua Treaty. Thank you so much for joining us.
Certainly, and sorry for all the communication issues here. There's a prescribed burn going on to my right, and I'm not sure, you know, what the internet issues were, but thank you for having me.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd scour the pots and scrape the pans, candy the yams and spice the hams, and though her daddy would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled up to the ceilings. Coffee grounds and potato peelings. Brown bananas, rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the window, it blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones. Drippy ends of ice cream cones, prune pits, peach pits, orange peel, gloppy glumps of cold oatmeal and pizza crusts and withered greens and soggy beans and tangerines and crusts of blackburn butter toast and grisly bits of beefy roasts. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof. It broke the wall. I mean, greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, globs of gooey bubble gum and cellophane from green bologna, rubbery blubbery macaroni, peanut butter, cake and dry, curdled milk and crescent pie, moldy melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard, cold french fries and rancid meat and yellow lumps of cream of wheat. At last, the garbage reached so high that finally it touched the sky. And all the neighbors moved away, and none of her friends had come to play. And finally, Sarah Cynthia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state from New York to the Golden Gate. And there in the garbage she did hate. Poor Sarah met an awful fate that I cannot right now relate, because the hour is much too late. But children, remember Sarah Stout, and always take the garbage out.
If only it was so simple. Oh, what an empty boo boo dinty willy dad lodo. What an empty boo boo dinty willy dad lodo. What an empty boo boo dinty willy dad lodo. What an empty boo boo dinty willy dad lodo. Oh, what an empty boo boo dinty willy dad lodo. Oh, what an empty boo boo dinty willy dad lodo. Oh, what an empty boo boo dinty. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load. Oh, you want an empty boot and divvy that load.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm eight years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And we're often joined by our friends Georgia and Amelia, but it looks like it's just me and Fatia today. We don't get to do the show just the two of us very often, but we always have a good time. Fatia is the youngest member of the Bound by Books crew, and I am the oldest member by far. But we both love books and we love talking about books. And Fatia is a very avid bookmaker, an author, an illustrator. And I think you wanted to share something that you're working on today.
This book was the main book. I shared one chapter of it, and I'm gonna show chapter two. Chapter two is How Much Rain. Rain is really strong and light. Sometimes if rain is too strong, it will be like thunder. Rain forms in really straight line. Really straight line, but it's light, second dark, and last dangerous, even more and more. Sometimes rain slowly hits you and makes you fly. Here's a lot of rain in the world, in every country, city, and state. It can be around light. High is, light. High is way more. The temperature of rain can be hot or cold. Mostly cold sometimes in the summer. It rains to welcome a new season. In winter, it has a little or sometimes a lot of rain and dangerous. A lot of bad stuff can happen, like thunder, storms, hurricanes, and storms, and even more. And that's the end of chapter two.
It's very nice. There was a little bit where it skipped out, so hopefully our listeners are able to pick up where it left off, but I love hearing your books. Do you like rain? What is your opinion on rain?
My opinion on rain is that, rain sometimes makes rainbows, and that's why I need books.
I like rain as long as it doesn't mess with my plans or cause any issues, like if there's a building leak or something, I don't like it then. But I like, on occasion, I like a really heavy rainstorm or a light rain. I am pretty scared of lightning. So I used to not be scared of it. And then one time I almost got hit. And so now I'm scared of lightning. So I'm okay if I'm inside, but I won't go outside if there's lightning. Gotta stay safe.
Yeah.
So do you have a third chapter, or is that still a work in progress?
I have a third chapter.
Okay. What's that one about? Is it, because it seemed like this one was, a lot of it was about storms, sort of a heavier rain.
This one should be about, go to that chapter. It's how much rain in the world.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little scared to read about that, but I hope it's gonna be good.
That's very interesting. How did you decide to write a book about rain?
One day at nighttime, I was sleeping and it kind of started raining a lot, like a lot. And I was thinking of summertime then, and it just popped in my head.
That's cool. And do you do research to write your books? Because this one's like an informational book.
No, I don't. I just do it in my head. I just think of it and just write it down.
Oh, interesting.
So the types of rain, I searched on the computer because I needed more information about it, because I wanted to be four chapter, but for the last chapter, I thought I was gonna make a rainy song, but then I had no idea to do it first, so I just crossed out chapter four. Now I only have three chapters left.
Can you tell me you're making a glossary for your book?
Yeah.
So that people can learn words?
Yeah, I already did a lot of words. Some were it doesn't really say that much. It has a lot of words. I have to write down the numbers next to them so I can do it. Maybe I'm going to do it by letter, letter A, then the next page B, then the next page C. Or maybe I'll just do it number one, two, or three. I'm still thinking about it.
So I've known you quite some time, and you've been on the radio show since July 2020. And so I've seen a lot of books that you've made over the years. Do you have a sense of how many books you've created? It must be a ton.
There was a ton, but I don't know where they went.
You don't know where your books are? Maybe someday you'll find them all.
Yeah, I was hoping to get some published, but I don't know how to publish anything.
Mm, yeah, someday. That would be fun. Well, I can share a book today. It's not one that I made. It's one that I read. And I actually just read it this morning in one sitting. So it was really good. It is called Salt Magic, and it's a middle grade graphic novel. It's by Hope Larson with illustrations by Rebecca Mock. And it's a bit of a, I guess it's a historical fairy tale. I don't know if that's how you, it's a fairy tale, but it's set in the past in Oklahoma. And I think it was in the 1920s is when it is originally set. So the main character's name is Vonsail, and she's probably a tween. I forget if it says how old she is, but she's like a young girl, probably around 12 would be my guess, maybe 13. And she lives with her family on a farm in Oklahoma, and her brother's been away fighting in World War I. And he was injured during the war, and so gets to come home. He's okay, but he has some scars. And he comes home and immediately gets engaged to his beloved girlfriend from back home. And Vonsail is like not so thrilled with him getting married. She and her brother, even though they're many years apart, they're very close. They just connect really well. And so I think she's just a little sort of jealous of the fact that this woman is going to get his time. And she always thought that he could maybe do better and was sort of hoping and wishing that he would meet some nurse in France during the war and like bring her home and have that be his exciting new wife. But then she comes to not like what she wished for when a woman shows up, a sort of fancy out of place in an Oklahoma woman shows up in town, and it turns out that she was somebody that he met in France, but that he left that life behind him and came home to wed his now wife. He's married at this point, but it turns out that the woman that came from France is actually a salt witch, and she is very upset that he has left her for his wife. And so she poisons the water with magic and turns the water into salt. And for people that work on a farm, they need fresh water for their crops to grow, to have their livelihood, plus as well as drinking water. And they've been experiencing a drought, so they really need water badly. And so Vonsail decides that she needs to try to fix things. And so she goes off on a quest to try to figure out how to make things okay, figure out the secret of the salt witch and how to fix the water issue, make everything right again. And so she goes on an interesting adventure and meets all kinds of interesting characters and finds out a little bit more about the salt witch, and he meets some other witches along the way. But it is a very fun read. I feel like it's different in the sense that it is both like the historical aspect is not as common in middle grade graphic novels, and then mixing in the fairy tale with that sort of Western or Oklahoma setting is a bit different. So I really enjoyed it. And this was also the recipient of the Eisner Award for Best Publication for Kids ages 9 to 12. So it's also an award-winning graphic novel. And it's been on a bunch of different lists of like best graphic novels for kids. Highly suggested. That's Salt Magic by Hope Larson and Rebecca Mock. That's my suggestion for the week. So as we noted, we often are joined by some other co-hosts, Amelia and Georgia, and sometimes Jada as well. And we wanted to make sure our listeners know that we are always welcoming of new members of the Bound by Books crew. So if anyone out there listening loves to read, wants to talk about books on the radio, we'd be happy to have you join us. You could come on as a guest host for one time if you wanted, or you could join our crew and come be on our weekly radio show. That would be really fun. And Bound by Books has been on WGXC since 2011. So we're proud to be on the radio talking about books each week. It's really fun. You get to hear about lots of great books. So before we wrap it up for the day, I want to know, Fatia, is there anything that you're excited for coming up?
I'm excited for at our time we do a really nice painting stuff. I forgot what it's called, but it's really fun. And it's for fourth graders only. And I can't wait to do it.
Fun. Sounds right up your alley. You could tell our listeners about some upcoming events at the library or with the library in some cases. So next week on Wednesday, November 16th at 4:30 p.m., there's a program at the Greenport Conservation Area called Night Sky Nature Explorers Hike. And this is geared for children ages 5 to 12, but all are welcome. And together, we're going to take a sunset moonwalk at the Greenport Conservation Area with the Columbia Land Conservancy. So we're going to walk the trails, and we're going to use materials from our Night Sky Explorer backpack to take a closer look at the moon and constellations while discussing nocturnal adaptations used by animals. So that should be fun. I love nocturnal animals. I find them so interesting. But for those that don't know, we have Nature Explorer backpacks that were curated by Columbia Land Conservancy and that you can borrow here at the library with your library card. And they are backpacks meant for kids that have different items within them that could help you explore nature. So there's one that's focused on the night sky, one that's on insects, one that is ponds and streams, hiking, birds. That might be it. I can't remember if I'm missing one. That might be all of them. But you can find out more about those on our website, or you can ask a staff member. Another upcoming program for youth that are in grades 6 to 12 or the equivalent if you're homeschooled, we're going to have an after-school snack and craft program on Wednesday, November 30th at 3:30, and they're going to make terracotta pottery. So they can make whatever they want. They could make a clay pot, a cup, little sculpture, whatever they want. So they're going to enjoy a snack and then do some crafting together. And that's while supplies last. So make sure to get here on time that day. So that's Wednesday, November 30th, 3:30 p.m. in the teen room here at the library for grades 6 to 12. And for our little ones, we have our movement and music program with Abby Lappin that's on Thursdays, running through November 17th from 4 to 5 p.m. We're taking a break at the end of the month due to Thanksgiving, of course. And we also have new early literacy kits in. So these are kits that include a book and some activity or craft centered on a theme that we give out once a month to kids ages birth to 5. And it's a fun way to interact around a theme. So this month's theme is kindness. So we have a book, some stickers, and a kindness bingo activity, as well as a thank you note craft. So kids can design a thank you note to express their gratitude to someone in their life. Yeah, those can be picked up at the main desk of the library. So stop by anytime. So those are just a few happenings this month that our listeners might be interested in. We also have lots of programs for adults. But since this is a youth radio show, I thought I'd focus on the youth activities. Those are some things I'm excited for this month. I'm also excited for Thanksgiving. I get to see my cousins, my aunt and uncle. That's always fun. And my mom. My mom's coming to visit too. But I get to see her a little bit more than my cousins and my aunt and uncle. Do you celebrate Thanksgiving, Fatia?
No, I don't celebrate it. Mm-hmm. I do like a little bit. It's just like the turkey, but only at lunchtime we eat turkey. Only at lunchtime, not dinner.
Like a turkey sandwich or like a big turkey?
It's like a big turkey with rice. It's really good.
That sounds really good. I bet it's tasty. Your mom's a good cook.
Yeah.
Well, since we're broadcasting on Friday, I'll also take a moment to just say happy Veterans Day. Thank you to all who served. Hope everyone was able to make it out to the Veterans Day services earlier today. We're out of time for today, so I want to wish everyone a great week with lots of quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. And in the meantime, happy reading.
Happy reading.
Bye.
Sit.